Recorded live.
I used to feel down, but I hit the ground running.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Aftershock Pro Wrestling Talk Show. I am your host, Sean Wolford, joined by George Jones this evening. For the next hour, talking professional wrestling. George, how are we today?
Yeah, I'm good. It's been a very, very busy week in wrestling, hasn't it, this week?
In wrestling and my personal life as well, messing up last night's recording. But I'll probably get onto that later. But anyway, let's tell the listeners what we've got coming up on this week's show. First off, we'll have all the latest WWE and TNA news, an Extreme Rules pay-per-view review, and as always, you can call in any time during the show. We're open to give you guys the opportunity to give you your thoughts on anything in pro wrestling. The number to do so is 724-444-7444, followed by the call ID of 94719 and then a hash. But anyway, George, why don't we kick things off with this past week's WWE Extreme Rules pay-per-view. The opening match was Randy Orton versus CM Punk in a last man standing match. I really enjoyed the match personally. The match was well thought out and it lasted for 20 minutes, resulting in Randy Orton picking up the win. George, what did you think of the match?
This was definitely the match of the night by a long way. It was a really, really good match. There was a lot of sick bumps. My only disappointment really was there was not much bloodshed. There wasn't any blood at all. And for that type of match, it should be at least some gore. It is meant to be Extreme Rules, but it was definitely a good match.
Yeah, I think it worked well how that they opened with this in the card. I understand your thoughts on the blood, but you know, with the whole PG deal, they are trying to avoid it as any means possible. But this was really enjoyable. Were you surprised they opened up the card?
Yeah, I was very surprised to be honest. I thought that they would have had that Michelle McCool match go first. But I guess it's a good way to get the crowd going, really. I was just impressed with some of the bumps they took and the way that they brought out a kendo stick. I thought it reminded me of the Hardcore Division when it used to be back in WWE.
Yeah, it was a different way to kick off the pay-per-view by a long means. And it's just nice to see some different stuff every now and then. My only other few comments here are about Booker T's dreadful commentary. He was lucky he didn't actually ruin this match for me, to be honest. He was dreadful to begin with. I mean, he kept using cliches that just... Oh, it was just dreadful. I don't know what you thought about it, George, but did you find Booker T's commentary really, really bad on
Let's be truthful, mate. He's not a commentator. He's an ex-wrestler. I don't actually understand why he keeps being the commentator. I think somebody like Jerry Styles would have been much better in this role. I don't know why they can't bring him back as such. But it was just, to be honest, it wasn't really much about the commentary. The match was by far an amazing match. Particularly there was a moment when one of the wrestlers got dropped on their back, pretty much on the guardrail, or what they call the modern sort of wall. It just looked like a really sick bump to take. I was really pleased, though, to see Orton come over, as we both predicted last week.
Yeah, I mean, do you think it was a good way to end the feud, sort of? I mean, we'll get onto this week's SmackDown later on in the show, but with it kind of has ended the feud between the two of them. Do you think it worked well?
Orton's the main star on SmackDown. He had to win. So, yeah, I think it's about time Orton got his revenge. Hopefully that'll be the end of the feud. Like, Punk and Orton work really well together, though. This is definitely the best match they've had in their feud.
Yeah, it's a good way to end the feud, and it was a nice match that was well thought out. My only other opinion on the Booker T commentaries, do you reckon they're building it up a big Matt Stryker return? So that Booker T is so bad that we want Matt Stryker back?
To be honest, I think we'll start with Booker T because this whole Tough Enough thing is sort of there just to remind people Tough Enough's going on. But shall we move on to the next match, mate?
Yeah. Just after this match finished, we had the backstage promo, which was Sheamus being told by Teddy Long that he had to defend the title against Kofi Kingston in a table match. Sheamus wanted to see Kofi's birth certificate. This was, for me, this was just another, like, one of these dreadful humour things WWE keep putting in on them. It just was pointless and it didn't make any sense to me. I mean, do you have any thoughts on this promo here?
Yeah, it was an unnecessary promo, but they did have to find a way to get them to feuding. As I said last week, I announced that match was going to be taking place. It was announced at the last minute. It was meant to be a bonus match, but I just sort of thought it was unnecessary. They might as well just come out and have Kofi cut a promo and challenge Sheamus, because Sheamus attacked him on the previous week's show. That would have made much more sense, rather than go on about Kofi's birth certificate. Well, Sheamus is not even from the US. It's just nonsense. The whole thing just doesn't work. Sorry.
I'm not keen that they switched the title around on them. I think I much prefer Sheamus to Kofi Kingston. Kofi Kingston seems a bit of a daft character to me. And
Sean, you've got to look at it, mate. It's not to interrupt you. You've got to look at it as Sheamus is going to be one of the main heels on SmackDown. Perhaps he's too big for that belt. As such, that I think they might have bigger things for him. But to be honest, if I have him lose the title, it just makes him look stupid. I think they should have had this as a triple threat match. And then basically it wouldn't have been so bad. Somebody else could have been, not Sheamus. But should we review what the match was like?
Yeah, we'll get on to that in a sec. I just want to say, though, with your comments on Sheamus, what would you put what title would you put on Sheamus instead, or how would you build him?
I wouldn't have him challenge for like a middle class title. I would have him as case in the world, sort of, as such. He's a world champion. He's one of the best SmackDown I've got to offer, unfortunately. He's got a lot of potential, really. He comes across as quite arrogant, and I think a lot of people hate him, but I think I quite like him. He's got that European style, which I think that's good. It's something different to WWE. Particularly SmackDown. SmackDown at the moment needs all the help they can get.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Aaron with you on that point there, that he is a good heel, and I particularly like him. I don't know whether it's just a European thing, but I know from friends who are abroad that watch WWE and TNA also really enjoy some of his work. I mean, his match this past week on SmackDown was really good. Bryan Daniels again, but we'll get onto that later. The other thing that followed this just before the match, which we'll review in a sec, was John Morrison doing some warming up. I mean, this was... Would you like to explain this to me? Because I didn't really understand why it was there. He was like doing some sort of Spider-Man thing on top of some boxes backstage. Did it make any sense to you, George?
He just looked like a Wally. It was unnecessary. They could have been using that time to do other stuff, type up Raw the next night or something. It's just ridiculous. I didn't understand it, really. Let's just be honest. He just looked like he was trying to be a poor man Spider-Man.
Oh, it's a waste of time, but I'm guessing that they had to spare some time so they could get the tables sorted out for the Kofi Kingston Sheamus.
I don't mean to like sort of change the subject though. Do you not think that time could have been used better to sort of even have another hype video for Awesome Con or Karma, shall I say?
Yeah, I think they could have well used it in a lot better. And I don't know, but it's just WWE don't really seem to know what they're doing when it comes to these filling in gaps. And I felt that with the Steel Cage match, which we'll get onto later. They also had a lot of time wasting in between there. You could put something else on it, you know. Why didn't they use one of these Raw recaps or what have you to or from
Let's
the
be
bottom?
Honest, Sean, Raw recap is just who wants to see Raw again? It's awful at times.
Yeah, but it's better than seeing John Morrison act like Spider-Man and Sheamus ask for a birth certificate when he's defending the US title because he doesn't agree that he should be defending people against people that aren't from America, even though he isn't either. You know, I don't know, but
it's just stupid.
Let's get on to the match. It was a tables match, and Kofi Kingston won, as we mentioned earlier. It was a really good finish. I thought the match was okay, but the finisher was really good. What's Kofi Kingston's finisher called again? I can't remember, but he did it through
Trouble in Paradise.
That's it. He sort of did that halfway through the table, but then decided to switch in the midair, and the announcers really sold it well. I don't know what you thought about it, but I felt that the announcers actually did something really good here, including Booker T. But what did you think of the match?
I've got to be honest, I loved it. There were certain parts of the match where Kofi was quite close to the table, and he almost done like just about held on, just about avoided the table. But I loved the way at the end when he hit the boot drop on top of Sheamus, and then pretty much both of them went through with it. But it's just good to see Kofi Kingston as the new United States champion. At least Raw have got a United States title now. But no, it was a really good match. It was better than expected.
Yeah, really like adrenaline-filled way to end the match. It was just a bit different. But, you know, let's get on to the next match anyway. We had Jerry Lawler and Jim Ross versus Michael Cole and Jack Swagger in a country whipping match. Swagger won. Personally, for me, the match wasn't actually near as bad as I was thinking it was going to be. It was kind of goofy at the beginning with the bubble wrap. Was it really needed? You know, some lame humour again there. But, I mean, what did you think on the match, George? Did you enjoy it?
I'm going to do the opposite to you. I actually quite like the bubble wrap. I thought it was really funny. But what amazed me was how little the crowd reacted to Cole, considering the match was probably had the biggest build of the entire card. I just sort of thought it went on far too long. The whole warm-up thing in the beginning, it just was just really stupid. But as I predicted last week, the heels did come out of a victory, which I thought would happen. But I just think it's stupid that they had JR take a lot of the work. JR couldn't work, he was injured. I just sort of thought it was unnecessary that it was more time wasted on this event. I'm just glad that it was over after when it finished, pretty much.
It's frustrating when they put things like this on, where you have, you know, JR who's already injured, and we know he can't work well anyway. That's not his role needs. And they decide to make him do more of the work than he is needed, and then put even more pressure on him when he's got an injury. It's one of these humiliating things that WWE seem to be doing again to him. You know, I don't know how much longer he's actually going to stand with it and put through with it. But it's an interesting story. As I said, Cole and Swagger won. To be honest, though, I find this, it's going on too long, this storyline. I am bored to death by it. That's my problem with it. And it's just, why do we need to see this again, you know? Michael Cole slapped Swagger in the face. There's no way, if he slapped him in the face, you're going to be buddies with him the following week. I mean, do you have any more thoughts on it, George?
I just sort of thought it was pretty basic, really. I just didn't really enjoy it. I just sort of wanted it to finish, really. I don't know what they're going to do next month, though. It looks like the plans have changed at the moment. But considering they've got less than 3 weeks to go to build up the next pay-per-view, it's quite worrying, really. But let's crack on with the Falls Count Anywhere match.
Yeah, this match was, I really enjoyed, actually. Even a match was a match of the night. But as we did say earlier, that it probably does go to the Randy Orton CM Punk match. However, Mysterio and Cody Rhodes in Falls Count Anywhere. You know, this spilled into the back and went into the crowd. The also went up to the arena lobby. The crowd was chanting "Holy shit!" I swore, get over it. Surprised that WWE didn't try to mute this as well as they did. You know, you could really hear it coming off on my TV anyway. Were you surprised that they didn't try to bleep out the swearing? I know they've had troubles doing it in the past. What was your thoughts, George?
Yeah, I was really, really impressed with this match. Similar to what I said earlier, this was very much like a hardcore match. I just loved it when they went backstage. It's the first time in so long they've actually done something where a match that spills backstage, it just sort of reminded me how good it was. The only thing that disappointed me was the finish. I expected Rhodes to win. Mysterio really didn't need to go over in this match. Rhodes is going to be like one of the main heels on SmackDown. And he unfortunately had his shoulders on the mat. It made him look like a bit of an idiot, really. I just didn't think it was reasonable, really. It just looks like Rey Mysterio stole all his heat as if he needed it.
You know, I thought it was also interesting that the way the match finished with Mysterio spitting the, like, green gas, like, stuff into his into Cody Rhodes' face. Did you think that that could possibly even be Ray turning heel? I know it's hard to believe, but there was a possibility that they could do it again. What's your thought?
I think that was just in there for comedy, sort of. It's just a parody of the Great Muta and Tajiri. Do you remember the rest of Tajiri? He used to do all the time.
Tajiri.
I sort of think it's just, I don't understand why Ray needs to do that, to be honest. It's just stupid, really. But no, as I said, I want to keep Ray strong to help Raw as such. But hopefully Cody Reynolds does recover from this and go on to something better. I quite like him. I think he's quite over now, and I really do quite like his work, really. I like holding bags, giving up bags to the audience, the front of the crowd. I think he's got a lot of potential.
Yeah, he definitely has. I think he maybe needs to work a little bit more on his promos. They are still, he's not coming across as the biggest heel on SmackDown, but by far not the worst. You know, I think if he maybe was stuck with CM Punk or someone like that, he could definitely work on it and improve and possibly become the top one on SmackDown or even Raw. It's an interesting thing that will carry on, I think. But, overall on this match, did you enjoy it or didn't?
Yeah, it was good. Definitely. Yes. Really, really good. I think it was just enjoyable, really. I just loved the whole backstage stuff, as I've said already. Should we go on to the no count out, no disqualification, loser leaves WWE match? I got this one so wrong again.
This is... that's a lot to say, isn't it, in mouth of time. But, Taylor versus Michelle McCool in a no DQ loser leaves WWE match, as George just said to you. But we had Layla win, meaning that Michelle McCool is now left WWE. And it was actually nice to see someone leave WWE and not be on one of the shows the following week. I mean, was she on NXT? I don't know, because I don't watch that. I don't think anyone else does. But I actually quite enjoyed this match. I'm definitely glad I didn't use it as a tea break or a toilet break like it is in the majority of Diva matches. But yeah, I mean, what did you think of the match overall, excluding the ending? But did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad, to be honest. I think, to be honest, this match should have been first, but there was some good moments. Particularly when Layla hit a net breaker. I thought that was really good. I think that looked really good. But no, it wasn't too bad. I was I'm jumping the gun a bit here. I loved what came next, though. Do you want to tell everybody?
Yeah, well, I basically, following the match, Michelle McCool was upset, as you can imagine, in the ring. And basically, Awesome Kong, but now known as Karma in WWE, comes out down the ramp. She makes a slow entrance to the ring, and McCool is very nervous, and you can see her shaking like, what on earth is this coming? She basically steps into the ring. It looked like she was turning around at one point to me, but what on earth is she doing? But she actually has to take a step back to get up on the ring. I don't know why, whether that's just a weight issue or something, but she basically just destroys McCool with an implant buster and laughs it off. They then get a cut scene to the Divas watching, scared in the back. Did you think this was a good impact and a way to kick off Karma, George?
Yeah, I loved it. I sort of thought she was a cross between Dwight the Clown and the Boogeyman almost. I love the way that she's playing this laughing gimmick. She's apparently getting it off Hugh Morris. Hugh Morris used to be the laughing man in WCW. And I just think it's good. I just love the way. I love the way that she... done a finisher, and I love the way Michelle McCool sold it as well. I'm just a bit concerned, though, who's Karma going to eventually feud with. The only person we're obviously going to say is Beth Phoenix, but the way they're building Karma up at the moment is no one can stop it. But I do love the way that she's come out and almost acting like a scary person, someone that can scare the diva. What I couldn't understand was why Michelle McCool couldn't leave her in. I just thought it was stupid, but oh well, I guess that's one way of putting Karma over.
Do you know, I'm going to bring that point up there. Why on earth are the Divas not leaving the ring, you know? This happened, I don't want to jump on the gun here, but, you know, on Monday Night Raw, the same thing happened. I can't remember who was in the match, but basically, I think Kelly was wrestling someone, and she was sat there for quite some time, and she saw Karma, a.k.a. Kong, coming down the ramp. And for ages and ages, she just sat there. I mean, if she was coming towards me, and I was in a wrestling ring, and I kind of knew and got the verb that she was going to probably most likely be attacking me, I'd have been running out the arena within seconds, you know.
Sorry to interrupt. What I thought was funny about Monday night on Raw was the fact that Karma attacked one of the Divas and done her finisher and then totally left Kelly. I just couldn't understand that. Surely she should be attacking everybody. I know Kelly Kelly looked like a scared child at the end of it, but it's just ridiculous, really. Let's go back to the Extreme Rules anyway.
I just want to make a note there. Do you think we could see a Kelly Kelly Karma tag team? That it could be KK, the KKK. That might work.
Absolutely no, mate. I think Karma will be on her own. If they ever start like a Ministry of Darkness stable again, perhaps she'll be in that. But no, I think she'll get the Divas title quite soon. I am quite impressed with the initial build up.
If they go like you know, PG or TV-14, we could have a KF team or a stable, you know, Kelly Kelly and Karma. But no, I don't think that would work. Do you think we'll see just I know you want to move on swiftly in a minute. But do you think we'll see her have some, like a feud against Gail Kim anytime soon?
No, I don't think they've built Gail Kim up enough to really challenge Karma, although they would have great matches. I just think it's quite good that they've given Karma this whole pre-debut vignette promos, as I said on one of the previous shows. It's really good the way that she debuted. It's just, to be honest, I think they had that whole Divas match to basically let Karma come in and do a spot as such. But it's just good that she's finally arrived in WWE at last. She's been due to debut since January, so it's been quite a lot on hold off. She got sent to learn WWE style, apparently. But wicked.
Yeah, the Vignettes, as you mentioned, there are also in the Titantron for her. But yeah, let's move on. I'm just finishing it off there with that Karma. I really do think she's made such a good impact, and excuse me the pun. But yeah, I can't wait to see what she does. The following match was Christian versus Alberto Del Rio for the World Heavyweight Championship match in a ladder match. Christian won the match, and first off, I want to ask you, George, what did you think about WWE cleaning up the blood from Christian?
Yeah, it's just unnecessary, really. I guess they're obviously PG-13, but if they won't allow any blood, I guess they would be right to allow it in the main event. I don't know why the whole clearing up things are needed, really. It just made the match more dramatic.
It kind of frustrates me that in a pay-per-view known as Extreme Rules, and where they advertised it, you know, as anything can happen, that as soon as there's some blood, that they've got medical team on the side, you know, wiping up, are you okay? Do you want a plaster for that and stuff? It's no, you know, it's like, this is a ladder match, this is WWE, and we purchased Extreme Rules. I mean, did you hear the budget in America? It was like $55 for a HD version. You want a decent match that wasn't including someone's blood being cleaned up halfway through. You know, can't they just leave that to the end of the match or something? But let's get on to the match itself. Basically, at the end of the match, Edge returned in a, I think it was like a golf cart or something, and he was beeping his horn and distracted Alberto Del Rio. It enabled Christian to climb the ladder and win the title. I mean, just bringing up the Edge deal there, did he not retire a few weeks ago, or am I thinking about something else?
To be honest, it was unneeded, wasn't it? We both agree on this, that Edge has gone. We've all said goodbye, I mean, it's disrespectful, but it was Christian's time to get the title. Couldn't he do it on his own? I don't know, like, sort of, I just sort of thought, oh, here we go, Edge has got involved. It just sort of totally derailed the whole point of Christian winning the title. It pretty much made both Del Rio and Christian look like idiots.
Christian looked particularly weak. You know, it's not good for him to be looking that he can't survive in the WWE without Edge, and that was clearly showing, you know, on this past week's SmackDown. I mean, we'll get onto that later again, but did you enjoy the match overall, George?
Yeah, it was good. It wasn't as good as I expected. I expected this to be the match of the night. The problem was, we all knew that Christian was going to win, and that sort of killed it for me, really. Perhaps I should have been more of a pessimist, perhaps I should have been more open, but I never predicted that Del Rio was going to win, to be honest. It just sort of, there wasn't really that much entertaining parts of the match as such. I thought for a ladder match for a title, it just was really poor. It was nothing like what used to be the Shawn Michaels Razor Ramon ladder matches. It needed to be something like that. It needed to be something that made an impact with people and left a mark and left some sort of memory. But to be honest, when this match finished, I didn't really like remember anything about it, really.
Yeah, it's definitely, it was a decent match. You know, I'm not saying it was by far the worst match in the cup, but the thing is that frustrated me that was we also all knew that Brodus Clay and Alberto Del Rio's announcer was going to one of them was going to interfere in the match at least. You know, I'd have liked it if they'd been banned from ringside or something, you know, to make it look like that it actually was a proper match and that, you know, Del Rio had the chance to win the title and he couldn't do it without Alberto, without his ring announcer or Brodus Clay, and he still didn't do it. But it was also the same for Edge and it for Christian, and it made both the guys look really weak, in my opinion. I mean,
I just think Brodus Clay is useless. I don't understand what he's doing in that position. Like, he's like a poor man's Big Show. Seriously. I don't really understand what he brings to the table. The only reason why the announcer's there for that intro rocks. I've got to give Del Rio some credit. But as I said, I was just glad sort of to get this match over and done with. It was quite emotional when Edge came out, and they sort of, it was like, oh, good that Christian's finally won the title, but I just sort of thought, let Christian do it on his own. Don't bring Edge out, please.
Yeah, I think that the ring announcer by, you know, no means possible, he is really good. Don't get rid of him by fine. And you know he's actually working in FCW under a mask at the moment, so he's will be in the WWE in terms of as a proper athlete very soon, and I look forward to seeing some sort of feud between the two. But anyway, let's move on to the next match, which was Kane and the Big Show versus Wade Barrett and Ezekiel Jackson for the tag team titles in a lumberjack match. Kane and Big Show retained the titles. But first off, I just want to say that I didn't actually know who half the lumberjacks were. It took me quite a while to work out who they were. We haven't seen them on TV so long. I mean, what did you think of lumberjacks? Just like a thrown-in gimmick.
I just thought it was an unnecessary match. You mean to tell me that they had this match after one of the world titles? It's just ridiculous. I just couldn't understand it. It was just trying to fill time, basically. But I just sort of, nah, I didn't really know that many lumberjacks. I just sort of was glad when it finished, really.
Yeah, I think the only good thing that came from it was getting some people on pay-per-view that don't normally get on pay-per-view, giving them a payday.
Can I say something? Sorry to really interrupt
you.
This time would have been better to use Sin Cara. So they've been hyping for weeks and weeks and weeks. Or they had him in a dark match where he won his dark match against Tyson Kidd. I surely think they should have had Sin Cara in this in some sort of way. They should have made it a six-man. And then had Wade Barrett and Ezekiel Jackson, another member of the Core versus Big Show, Kane and Sin Cara, give him that sort of pay-per-view rub so he knows what to expect. But oh no, they had to have a match that's just boring.
I think I totally agree with you. Yeah, they should have chucked him in there. But I think what the WWE writing team had in mind was we need to get some more titles, need to get the tag team titles on this show. You know, it's a nothing title anyway, so what is. But by chucking in Sin Cara and someone else, then it's a three-way and technically can't really defend the title on the show. And also, is Sin Cara really ready for pay-per-view yet? You know, he's still adapting to doing tape TV. I mean, we saw on Raw a few weeks ago, he really can't do live TV just yet, at least not the WWE style. But I don't know if you have anything to say about that.
I just hate the fact that this match went on without a feud. I couldn't really understand what the point of it was. But no, I would agree that Sin Cara may not be ready for TV. But even if this was the beginning of the night match, at least then he would have had some exposure. But let's not waste any more time talking about Kane and Big Show, please.
I just want to say as well that we'll move on. This is pointless talk about them. But how many times have we seen this match before? You know, Kane and Big Show versus two members from the Core, or three. It's pointless. They just keep throwing these matches. I think on one of the last two shows, like their Raw or SmackDown, we've actually seen this match once or twice before. It's just frustrating.
You've got to ask yourself this: that what the hell is Kane doing in as a tag team champion? This is a guy that's an ex-champion. Last year, he held the title for quite a long time. He beat The Undertaker numerous times, and now he's just a tag team champion. SmackDown is short of stars. Surely they should be using him as a singles wrestler. And everyone forgets, though, Kane was the one that got rid of The Undertaker for so long, and then he came back. And Kane and Undertaker don't even speak now, as such as no feud, no hatred or anything. The whole thing just doesn't make sense. I don't quite understand how Kane turned face. It just doesn't all make sense. Everyone must have forgot that Kane was going to kill Paul Bearer at one point in a Hell in a Cell match at Hell in a Cell. It's just ridiculous, and I'm drifting off into something different. What do you think about that?
He's just not. Kane isn't really good anymore, is he, in terms of being a heel or a face? I mean, he's over with the fans, the whole Big Show theme tune, and then followed by the, you know, the theme tune for Kane. If you want my personal opinion on Kane, I'm even not sure if you stick the mask back on him, would he be over as a heel or a face? You know, that mask is legendary as such in the WWE. But even now, you know, they've made him lose so many silly people and go over so many people. It's just, Kane can't really be taken seriously anymore. You know, he was playing the trumpet with Santino Marella and Vladimir Kozlov at WrestleMania. That's how little anyone cares about him anymore. You know, he was getting a few laughs from some little children in the crowd. But, let's move on, as you said, from Big Show and Kane there. We had John Morrison versus John Cena and The Miz for the WWE Championship. This was in a steel cage. First off, I just want to say, you know, Cena won. I'm just letting you know there, people. But during the match, R-Truth entered to stop John Morrison from escaping. Does this not ruin the concept of the steel cage? That, you know, they build it up, no one can get in, no one can get out. You're locked inside. It's the way to settle the final argument of people who run up or heels that run away. And then they go and have R-Truth, you know, like, just enter the ring, easy peasy. I'll just walk in here, thanks very much. Oh, and I'll beat up John Morrison on my way. I don't know what you think about it, but do you have the same opinion?
The whole value of a steel cage match has been lost in current modern WWE. I remember when I used to watch cage matches, it used to actually mean something, whereas now, people coming and going is, do you remember, I'm going to go back to Kane now, similar to a Hell in a Cell match, Undertaker and Michaels had a Hell in a Cell match, the cage was locked, Kane came in, how did he get in? He had to get in by ripping the door off. John, R-Truth just walks in, as if there's no door there, it was just total pointless. I'm ranting like a lunatic at the moment, I apologise.
No, it's alright. I'm going to say though, I haven't got a problem if someone climbs over the cage into the...
It's fine.
No, if they climb over and get into the ring that way, then that's absolutely fine with me. You know, that's the concept of a Hell in a Cell, is that they've got the roof on the cage so no one could get in that way. But, you know, he didn't even do that. He climbed on the way out. Wouldn't it have made more sense to climb in? It didn't, and people I've heard from, like, friends and stuff are really segmented that Truth could have won the title. Like, first off, no one really believes that Truth is going to win a title ever, you know?
The only really good part of this match is when Morrison hit, like, a modified Starship Pain from the top of the cage. That was really, really good. But the rest of the match, I was wrong. I thought Miz would retain. I was so sick to see Cena as champion again. So you mean to tell me Cena's going to hold the belt now until SummerSlam in August, where I'll face Del Rio? I don't know how the hell I'm going to build this up. It's just ridiculous.
You know, you also mentioned there that the Starship Pain off the cage. John Cena also did the FU off the ring. I think this was sort of like a thing to TNA, like, you know, with Kurt almost killing himself in the ring on a steel cage match as well. Do you think this is sort of a two thumbs up to them or something like that?
I don't know. I just thought they wanted a Kennedy finish. I just thought, what's annoying, a cage match really should be won traditionally by either going out the door or over the cage. Pinfalls are just unnecessary. I just sort of thought it just was stupid how Cena looked like he was out of it when he got hit with an axe kick by R-Truth. And then somehow or another, he makes a miraculous comeback. But I don't know. Or maybe it must have been Cena's time. I'm just a bit concerned what they're going to do with the Miz now. I just sort of thought, he's been such a good champion, I'm a bit disappointed really to see him not be champion anymore.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with Cena either. It's like, well, he's got the title now. Was it only there to make him look stronger on Monday Night Raw with The Rock's birthday?
Can I just say something? The pay-per-view ended with Cena smiling and celebrating, and it's sort of acting as if everything's normal in the WWE universe. Well, sorry, where's his next challenge? It's not going to be The Rock, because he's not coming to WrestleMania. They've got no one hyping up, like, there's no one really after Cena and such. It would have made more sense for somebody to come out and attack Cena at the end of pay-per-view. Whoever he was going to feud with next, the next event, which is Over the Limit, which is like 3 weeks away, it would have made much more sense for someone to come out and attack him. I just thought it was stupid. Surely The Miz should have had a temper tantrum and thrown Cena into a cage or something, or somebody should have come out. But, oh no, I guess that's too much common sense.
Yeah, I mean, I'll mention here at the end of the match as well that Cena when the cameras went off, he did announce to the crowd about Bin Laden's death. Just throwing it out there, people don't know. But yeah, he's just, you know, it was. I don't see the point of him smiling. You know, he's just been thrown into a cage door and stuff during the match. He's been hit with a, I believe he was hit with a Starship Pain off the cage.
Yeah, yeah, both him and his were.
You know, it's like, oh yeah, 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 that really hurt. But then he can get up and win the title and be all happy and, oh, nothing actually really hurt. But overall, did you enjoy the match, George, is what I'm trying to get to here.
No, I didn't.
It was
really
a bit
was a letdown, to be honest. I expected it more compelling, more interesting. I just sort of thought that they should have had more spots, really. The only real, as I said, I mentioned the only spot, in my opinion. I just was, as I said, I think maybe I'm a bit biased by the finish. But no, I didn't enjoy it. Did you, Sean?
Overall, the match, not particularly. You know, I enjoyed the, as we said before, the opening was probably more entertaining. This one just seemed to drag out a little bit too long for my liking. When the match is not good and it's 10, 15 minutes, it's pointless, really. It doesn't seem like, why should I be watching this? But, you know, it's predictable and not predictable. We knew that either Cena or The Miz was going to win. It was just, you know, average match. But that was the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. I want to ask you, George, what were your overall thoughts on the show? Did you enjoy it, or would you give a thumb?
Yeah, I did enjoy the Cody Rhodes match. I quite like the CM Punk Randy Orton match. There was a couple of very good matches that surprised me, but no, it wasn't too bad. I just sort of thought it was a pretty much basic pay per view. It was a basic after WrestleMania pay per view. Did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was well done for a B pay per view. You know, most of these ones tend to be pretty crap in when you have them coming off WrestleMania. I'd definitely give it a thumbs up. Out of 10 star rating, I'd probably give it between a 6 and a 7. I mean, what would you give it, George?
I'd give it a 7.
Yeah.
I mean, CM Punk, Randy Orton, and Razor, Cody Rhodes really saved it. I thought them two matches were just fantastic, really.
Yeah, I think those matches did make it stand out, make the show stand out as such, and they definitely improved the pay-per-view overall. But well, that was WWE Extreme Rules. I'll ask you one more question on that, George. What did you prefer, TNA Lockdown or WWE Extreme Rules?
I think TNA Lockdown had a better match. I think Angle and Jarrett was better than any of the matches on that card. But I don't know, TNA, the booking in TNA is so bad, I'm gonna have to go with WWE. I thought she's close, both, neither one were that much better than the other.
Yeah, yeah. No, I
think they're both shows they sort of threw in. As you said last week, UFC was on the night before. I think WWE thought, oh, well, no one's really going to buy this show anyway as such. It wasn't a show, really, that was built up with a lot of feuds. Bear in mind, two of the matches hadn't been announced. That Kofi Kingston-Sheamus match wasn't announced before. Neither was the big show Wade Barrett and Jackson match. So you sort of had two matches there that weren't even advertised or even like sort of built up as a feud as such.
So overall, our thoughts are that we enjoyed WWE Extreme Rules more, but personally on a built-up level, between feuds and stuff, that TNA Lockdown was probably slightly better in that sense. But if you want matches, then either one would be good. But anyway, that was WWE Extreme Rules, I said for the third time. Let's plug some websites just for now. First off, our other usual co-host on the show, Mr. Kyle Patton, is unfortunately not able to join tonight due to other commitments. And, you know, this isn't the usual show time. It's normally Fridays at 10 to 11 p.m. GMT/UK and 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern if you are a new listener just checking us out now. You can also check out ineedwrestling.com for Kyle's website, really good news website there. Do check out Fight Life magazine. Can search it in Facebook or just type it in Google and you find it. And you can always find this show, the Aftershock Pro Wrestling Talk Show, on Facebook by heading to www.facebook.com/Aftershock Wrestling. Please go there and like the page, and me will keep you up to date with what's going on in the show, the latest news. You know, this week I've been in hospital and stuff, so last night's show wasn't actually on. Hence why we're doing it tonight. that people that were on the Facebook page knew about that first. But anyway, we'll be right back after this quick commercial break with the latest news from WWE and TNA.
Stand there and shut up, because I've got a lot to say.
I am Bobby the Brain Heenan. Get it straight.
We're here making television history right now.
Now, for the first time ever released on DVD, the unprecedented collection of one of the greatest managers of all time in Bobby the Brain Heenan.
You know, I'm the kind of a man that doesn't like to be made a fool of. You listen to me, you go to the top.
From his dynamic relationship with Gorilla Monsoon.
Will you stop? Just wait a minute. We're on the air.
Is this a joke?
Yes, I know exactly what's going on here.
I had my dinner.
Why don't you be serious?
To Bobby's controversial time with WCW.
Someone please tell us what is going on, please.
Relive the most outlandish.
I'm on a delta try to catch you, miserable nut.
Witty.
Well, in Beverly Hills, I happen to know that my mailman right there is hunchback and just carrying my mail.
And unforgettable moments that has shaped the Brain's illustrious career. Bobby the Brain Heenan, available.
Back here on the Aftershock Pro Wrestling Talk Show. I am currently joined by my usual co-host, George Jones. We are here for the next 20 minutes discussing this past week's wrestling news. And George, let's kick things off with The Rock's birthday, which took place on this past Monday's Raw. It featured multiple celebrities, including Pitbull and Lillian Garcia, plus many others. First off, did you enjoy the show?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. There wasn't any matches, unfortunately. It was all pretty much promos as such. I got a bit bored of The Rock by the end of the show, I've got to be honest with you. That often happens as we don't see it much. But there was, what annoyed me about this show was the show started as with just a match. It started in the middle of a match, an inter-promotional battle royal. There was no real build-up.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit overdone with The Rock. You know, I understand when WWE get a hold of him, they are going to put him on whenever and as long as possible, but I think it was probably slightly overdone this time. You know, the one thing that really did frustrate me after a while was the birthday messages. I think there was way too many of them. You could have done with only like two or three from big name celebrities, but the show was okay. It was I didn't think much of it in terms of wrestling wise. It just was a bit long-winded for me, and there was some silly moments. And if you want me to point some stuff out, it's things like Michael Cole's Celtics reference. Now, from the UK, George, I don't know if, but you know, we don't really follow basketball over here at all. That's not just me and you. You know, my friends and family don't follow it. I don't. Do you know many people that follow basketball?
To be honest, nobody I know follows it. It's all about football. It's all about teams like Manchester United and stuff like that that people follow. As such, everyone follows soccer here. I don't know if it's different in America. I just thought it. I guess they were just appealing to the American audience, not the international audience, I guess.
You know, that's what frustrates me, though, is that they want to be this global big brand that's known everywhere. You know, we come to your hometown. We are WWE Raw, WWE SmackDown, or what have you. But then they go and make references that only make sense to very certain people and countries like America. There was other silly things, as we mentioned during the show earlier, like Kelly sat there in the ring when Karma was coming down. But yeah, other than that, it was an okay show. Have you got any other thoughts on it?
Yeah, I just sort of thought it was unnecessary. Although I've got to give them some credit, or not credit, I'd say they chucked away some huge matches. Actually had a rematch of the WWE Championship between John Cena and The Miz. I sort of thought that was a massive match to give away for free. I think the people that paid for it the previous night were probably pretty annoyed.
You know, you mentioned that to me in a phone call we had. It seems a bit silly that I said to you, why on earth did they give that away free? As well as, technically they gave away R-Truth and John Morrison. But you said to me a really good point. You know, we've seen the match so many times now. Does anyone actually care about it anymore?
What's even worse about that was wasn't the main event. The actual main event was Mason Ryan versus Kane. Was the main event of the show. That is absolutely awful.
I didn't realise that was what the main event actually was. I'm just thinking back to the show, you know. We had that ending where there was loads of balloons and stuff coming down. A bit pointless to me, you know. I would have rather seen Cena versus The Miz as the go-home angle for this show. But yeah, that's really bad if you think about it that way. But one thing they did do well is, obviously, in my case, they distracted me from that pretty average match and made me more think about Rock being the...
I just thought it was a bit silly, though, really, the way that they ended it as such. As you said, they've got less than 3 weeks now to pay-per-view, and all they had was Vince McMahon pretty much kissing up to The Rock. The Rock apparently didn't even know about it. I sort of thought there was more important things that could have been done.
Yeah, I've heard the rumour that The Rock didn't actually know that was going to be done, and the whole, you know, the WWE video was well done, I'm going to say. That was a really nice touch, but I'm pretty much guessing that he did know that was coming. But let's move on to my next story, which is WrestleMania getting 1 million buys. Did you think that they would actually do that in the long run, George?
No, I was well surprised. It wasn't exactly that much of a strong card this year, considering a lot of the matches didn't start feuding until late. But I think a lot of that has got to be down to The Rock. The Rock was such a huge wrestler to come back. Considering originally they did try and get Lesnar, and when Lesnar angle it didn't actually come off, they were sort of panicking and going around to various people trying to get them back. But no, it's awesome for WWE. It just shows that wrestling's on and up.
Yeah, you mentioned there that Brock Lesnar, that WWE trying to get him back. Do you think if they had done that, he would have been, with their Mania would have got more buys than it would have done with The Rock?
It's very, very close, mate. You got to bear in mind, at the time, Lesnar was the UFC champion. As much as I don't want to say this, UFC is bigger than WWE now. As such, UFC is really, really growing fast. Everybody likes UFC as such. It's almost got the old WWF boom as such. But no, I think the thing with The Rock is he just was such a good host as such. He can pretty much, because everyone loves him. And you've got that also, what everyone forgot was Austin was on the show as well. Stoke Austin, probably the greatest draw ever.
I was going to mention that too. And I know it seems silly here, me throwing this out, but, you know, Snooki was on the show, and how many people actually watched Jersey Shore? I think the ratings are fairly high from my knowledge of the show, which is very limited, but it's on all the time over here. And I know it is in the States too. So I'm presuming that they got quite a few buys from people wanting to see her. Actually,
I agree with that.
But, you know, that's the sadness today. Snooki's getting a lot of the buys as well as The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin in WWE. But the following story on here, and spoiler alert for anyone interested in TNA, it has been revealed that the network is going to be Mick Foley. I mean, George, what do you think on this story?
I sort of thought, to be honest, with Mick Foley. I think TNA were looking for somebody to surprise people. It's a bit of a letdown, really. It's somebody that we've seen before a lot of times. It is good, though, to see Mick Foley back in TNA. I just sort of think I'm getting a bit sick of this power struggle. It's always they or somebody's coming. It's sort of always a letdown as such. Would you agree with that?
They don't build up people enough, do they? You know, the network, to be honest, the network hasn't really been built up as such to me as, oh my God, I want to know who it is. You know, with like the Raw GM, I'm kind of so sick of it that I don't know who it is. But the network isn't
really
like...
Do you not think, though, the network would have been better? Somebody like Paul Heyman, somebody that you want to see?
Oh, without a doubt. If it had been Paul Heyman, you know, I would have been watching TNA constantly, you know, as soon as I could get it, my hands on it. But, you know, at the moment, I'm not in any rush to watch TNA. I do watch it on a weekly basis. But, you know, we could still see it. You never know. They might do a live show where Mick Foley is supposedly the network. And then we have, and my other team member on the network. You know, if they do that and bring down Paul Heyman.
I just sort of laughed how they made this big build-up of Hulk Hogan's court case of him taking control of TNA over Dixie Carter. Now that means nothing as such.
Yeah,
And another thing is they've missed out on getting some buy rates at Sacrifice. Originally, it was meant to be the network was meant to be revealed at Sacrifice. I guess they've shot the gun and panicked a bit and obviously had to reveal it a week early, which you'll see. These guys will see in the UK on Tuesday night. Or next week, Tuesday night, shall I say.
It's also frustrating that, you know, my next story on the list here is China being in TNA now. You know, they've also sort of shot the gun with that a bit quickly. But, you know, what do you think of China being back in TNA? We know that, well, we believe that she's in some sort of just pay-as-you-go deal where she's only paid per appearance. I mean, to me...
Just to clarify, China's come back as Kurt Angle's blonde alleged mistress. Originally, it was meant to be that Isaiah the Amazon, as I said a couple of weeks ago, but apparently she's got a lot of heat with the back, but I think they're desperate to get China back, really. I don't know. I think she'll have one deal. I'm not really confident. What makes me laugh is, on this impact, is Mick Foley came out as the big network. Guess who he came with? There was no hold-up. Let's hold up, try and get a rating later in the show. He came out with China straight away as the reveal of Kurt Angle's mistress. It was just stupid. Talk about throw 2 feet away in one go.
Yeah, you're not going to care about it, are you, really? That's the thing. You either release one
you're
or the other.
You're only going to watch a show for them two reveals, and yet you get them both at the same time. It's not good, is it?
It's looking, you know. At least if you release one, like China, for example, and then say you do have Paul Heyman, or vice versa, you know, China's, in terms to me, China coming back is probably bigger than Mick Foley being announced as the network, because, you know, he's been there before. I think you do the big one at the pay-per-view, live, and you do the minor one at the tapings, you know, because the results get leaked anyway. But it's just silly booking. Again.
Although on the pay-per-view Sacrifice, they are going to have Matt Hardy and a mystery partner against somebody. I think the mystery partner already is probably going to be Chris Harris, unfortunately. I don't think it'll be anybody decent. I saw TNA running out of money. This is just desperate booking, trying to get somebody in, anybody that's had X star power in WWE. But
that'll also
I don't
explain
know,
him not replying to my email. No, I'm joking. Chris Harris, it'd be interesting, but to be honest, we've seen it before. My other story here on TNA is them changing the name of wrestling. Well, not the name of TNA, but, you know, the name of the TNA Impact show. I mean, what's your thoughts on this?
They are actually changing the name. It's not just a show. They are actually going to be known as Impact Wrestling from after Sacrifice, yeah. Unfortunately, it's been confirmed by Jeff Jarrett and Hulk Hogan.
It's a horrible name, in my opinion.
Panic Stations. It's called, basically, they're going the same way as WCW, except for they've actually got money to be able to have some sort of rebuild. I'm a bit concerned. Obviously, no more total non-stop action. It is just Impact Wrestling. I guess sort of, I don't know, I don't like it. It doesn't strike me as something that I'm going to have to see. It doesn't seem like a good alternative to WWE.
It doesn't have that same ring, you know, as TNA. You can't really chant IW or whatever they're going to... I mean, is that what it's going to be called? Impact Wrestling? Sorry,
Impact
I missed out on
Wrestling, yep. Yeah, Impact Wrestling is what it's going to be called. The way that they're going to do it is when Mick Foley comes back with the network and he's going to say something, look, like, this is Impact Wrestling as such. And then pretty much it's going to be known as that. I don't know whether they'll immediately take it. Perhaps if they've got any sense, they'll do Sacrifice. But surely have a big build-up to Impact Wrestling at the next event after.
See, to me, that seems really silly. Why you change the name to Impact Wrestling if it's not something the crowd... You know, are you really going to want to be chanting Impact Wrestling? It doesn't work, does it, you know? Not for a wrestling company, at least. You know, for me nowadays, wrestling companies either have to start with a name like Impact Wrestling, where it's two words, or if you're going to do the three-letter thing, then if you're going to change your name, make sure it's another three-letter thing that people can actually chant. Because that's the one big thing TNA have over WWE. You know, you don't really see many WWE chants at their shows. It's more either this is great or this is awesome or he effed up or something like that even. But in TNA, it's always constantly that TNA chant. I mean, what's your thoughts on that, the whole chanting for the fans?
In TNA, you certainly get this is awesome, but I just think TNA is in such a sorry state. Look at their X division. That used to be the highlight of TNA, and now they've lost wrestlers like Samoa Joe and other people. To be honest, it's stupid. Can you get used to Impact Wrestling? At the moment, I can't. Perhaps it's come to that stage where they need to just freshen up, pretty much. I just sort of think that Hulk Hogan's even tweeted, oh, no, no TNA, only Impact. And then pretty much Jeff Jarrett said, Impact, it's no Impact Wrestling. It's just stupid, really. I just sort of thought, how is it all going to come about?
Does this not seem like a big waste of money to you, though, as well? You know, I mean, do you remember on, was it January 4th, 2010, all the big billboards and stuff they had in, like, New York? And, well, Hulk Hogan's coming to TNA, you've got to watch it. They scored that really high rating, and then, you know, they did a good rating for a few weeks, and then it was absolutely crap again.
Let's be truthful, mate. They were live head-to-head with Raw, and pretty much that initial Impact debut episode of Impact head-to-head with Raw had so many different like people debuting. It's ridiculous. One minute you got Ric Flair, next thing you got Jeff Hardy, next thing you got RVD. It just sort of doesn't make sense, really. There's no real initial build-up of wrestlers. It's just everything now, and just the whole booking. Although I'm quite looking forward to seeing Sacrifice. I've got to be honest. I'm going to confess.
Yeah, you know, I don't want the show to come across as we're really negative on TNA and wrestling in general, but sometimes like these things do frustrate us, you know. As you say, the TNA name changing, the people just constantly boom, 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 you have different like stars, and you just didn't get the time to think, oh my God, what is he actually going to do to this company? He's going to turn it upside down, you know.
You've got to be honest, though, it hasn't. It's not as bad as it once was. Once they actually had a drinking championship, which was just ridiculous. I just sort of think it's going to go down that route at the moment.
You know,
we're not all negative. If something deserves praise, I certainly will give it praise. I promise you.
The one thing I want to chuck out there is, if do you know what I've seen as the network being Jim Mitch or someone like that? You know that guy. Why on earth he's not in one of the two companies? Just is so frustrating. But. Although we're getting Kyle phoning in now, I think. Sorry, but we're just saying there, Jim Mitchell, would you think he would actually work well in the show as the network?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, Jim Mitchell was great with this. To be honest, the whole network thing, if they were smart, they could have used the ECW connotation and had Cyrus. He was also known as the Jackal in WWF. He was like the manager of the Truth Commission.
Yeah, I briefly remember him. I'm going to the back of my memory. But, you know, let's finish this story off here. I mean, do you think this name change for TNA is actually going to do them any good? Or do you think it's not going to work?
It might work for a little while. But I don't know. The whole thing they've built up is TNA. They've advertised TNA. So that must mean they're going to have to buy a whole new domain and everything. I don't know. I've really lost hope with that promotion. I think the only reason why they're still in business is because Panda Energy. It must have too much money to chuck. But I don't know. You've got to look who's behind the booking, really, and who's behind the general storylines and the whole way they're planned out and feuds. I just think Hulk Hogan's not playing his creative control card too much. I don't mean to sound resentful, but he was he can be quite when he does that.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kyle's going to phone in here. I'd just like to get his thoughts on the show in, game change deal. But as you mentioned there, I don't actually think TNA have realized how much this name change is going to cost them. You know, you've got to get a new title copyrighted. You've got to get a new website, as you mentioned, the domain. You know, all this action figures that they've got in stuff. You've got the, TNA action figures, TNA Legends, but and you've just got to think, as they actually thought this through thoroughly, oh my God, this is actually going to cost us loads and loads of money, which we don't actually have. I mean, Kyle, are you there? Sorry.
Yes, what's going on, guys?
Not a lot. Sorry about the mix-up there, but we're just in the middle of discussing TNA's name change to Impact Wrestling. I mean, what's your thoughts on it in general?
Well, to my knowledge, it's only going to be the show that's changing, but I don't know. If TNA's trying to rebrand themselves here and they're going to try and push the Impact Wrestling name, I mean, like I said, I believe it's just for the show, but whether it's just for the show or not, if they're going to obviously try to rebrand themselves and if they're going to try and push this Impact Wrestling thing, which is pretty much the opposite of what WWE is doing, I think they need to actually literally rebrand themselves and rebrand the show and maybe push wrestling more instead of, I don't know, what do they do, 15 minutes of wrestling on TV right now? I mean, they really do need to, if they're going to do this, they need to fully rebrand themselves to not just change the name and hope more people tune in because now they're calling it wrestling.
Do you think they've actually, I was mentioned just before you came on, do you think they've actually thoroughly thought through how much this is going to cost them?
Probably not. I mean, I only know from secondhand. I know that from what I've read from reports, the Dixie does not want, you know, they've been talking about changing this name for a while now. And Dixie really doesn't want to get rid of TNA because they've been branding the TNA name now for, what is it, 8-9 years. But I don't know if they really know. I mean, I don't know. I just hope that they have this well thought out and it's not just kind of like a, you know, let's, you know, just sudden change of, you know, direction here. I hope they actually thought this out and are going to rebrand the product.
To be honest.
Sorry, what was that, George?
Let's go back to a six-sided ring. I thought it was quite a unique concept. It was good for the X Division. Wrestlers could do more spots and stuff and bumps.
You know, I've said this tons and tons of times before, but do you not think, you know, over here, George, we have, like, really small, you know, even like church halls where you can fit, say, what, between 50 and 200 people in. You know, we have loads of them everywhere, your local, like, little building where it costs, what, 20 quid to rent it out for a night and you put all the expense. Do you not think if TNA based the show around the X Division, you know, your main event was either a three-way or a two-way X Division match, you had maybe one or two, you know, well-known guys, your Raven or your Mick Foley's, they're not in the main event, but they're in the mid card and they're not pushed any higher than that. And, you know, you've got the name there, the big name brand and stuff you've got. Do you think that could work? I mean, George, what's your thoughts on if TNA just went around local little buildings, even if they charged, what, $10-$15 in for a ticket, you know, £9 or £10 over here, I think. But what's your thoughts?
I'm just gonna say, I don't know if Carl could help me answer this. None of you two can. Is it free to get in the TNA show that they record? Can anyone answer that? I'm pretty sure it's a freebie if you go to, like, Orlando Studios. Does anyone know?
Yeah, I do. It's basically, if someone I know attended Carl, feel free to say anything now, but basically a friend attended a taping in January, I think it was. And it's free to get in. I think he might have paid a little bit extra to get, like, a special seat where he could go backstage and stuff. But he said it was basically one wall, there's just a blank wall where they don't film anything. There's just a blank, basic black wall. And also you've got to sit through 2 to 3 hours of Impact tapings, obviously, with all the cuts and stuff and everything they have to set up. And the crowd's so dead that, you know, JB stands and like builds them up and he says, oh my God, I'm working on stuff. You know, oh my God, if you guys make enough noise, I'll be able to bring you out a free DVD party at the end of the thing. And he was like, oh yeah, this is really great. Yeah, we can get free DVDs signed and everything at the end of it, or the TNA locker. But what they didn't tell you was that as well as sitting through an Impact taping, you have to sit through an hour's Explosion taping.
You're completely right, Sean. We have a correspondent for the website that often goes to Impact tapings, and the whole hard camera side of that studio, there's pretty much nothing there except for a couple rows of seats. It's not like you see on the, you know, where the camera's facing. It's completely, like you said, it's pretty much a black wall, and it's there's nothing there. And as for, like, the taping, like, being extremely long and them giving out, you know, freebies to meet the wrestlers, that's absolutely true. That's how they get them to sit through the taping, unfortunately. That's, you know, well, would you really want to sit through a six-hour taping? But it's going back to that X Division that you were talking about, you know, TNA was born off the X Division. Yes, granted, they still had the heavyweights and Jeff Jarrett leading that, the heavyweight division back in the day when they started. But the X Division really launched that company on pay-per-view. People tuned in on a weekly basis to see what the X Division was going to do. They tuned in to see Ultimate X when it was born. You know, but now they just pretty much throw that around too on a, you know, regular basis. But the X Division's what created TNA. I wish they would highlight it.
You know, I just going back to my comment there about doing the whole taping it in local buildings where there's maybe between 50 and 200 people. You know, I think for a one-off, I wouldn't mind sitting through a six-hour TNA taping or a five-hour TNA taping, you know, once a year or something, if I get like a TNA party at the end or something like that. What do you think, George?
I sort of think, to be honest, though, that during that 6 hours, you're going to see the same wrestlers again and again. That obviously, they're filming 4 weeks in advance, if I'm correct, 3 or 4 weeks in advance. Is that correct?
Yeah, I believe it is.
It's almost like the old WCW used to do the same thing. And the problem is, if you sort of have injuries in the meantime, the storylines won't make sense. But no, I just sort of think with TNA, they do need to move out of that impact zone. I think they won't do small buildings. They've obviously got to pay their wrestlers. They've got some quite like established names on that roster. So obviously, to make ends meet, I think they need to do slightly bigger buildings. I don't know why they haven't tried the X, like ECW Arena, places like that, somewhere that's actually got history as such.
They've run the ECW Arena, but I don't know why they don't ever tape a show there.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I was wrong on, but no, they should tape a show. Exactly what you said.
You know, I'm just going to say here, you know, when ROH did their HDNet shows, they taped at the same building. And to be fair, it's the greatest production in the world. But, you know, it's HDNet, they're not the biggest brand yet in terms of cable TV, I don't believe.
I do want to point out one thing, though. Those people that showed up to the ROH HDNet tapings paid. The people for the Impact Zone don't pay.
But they get their money's worth. Those people that turn up for the ROH shows actually get a good night out.
So TNA is operating, basically, the only money they're getting is from Spike TV and merchandise and PPV. It's a big risk. It's a bit risky, isn't it? Can you imagine WWE being free?
I will say one thing, though, because TNA does get a lot of hate for this, and a lot of people think that TNA is always in financial distress. I just want to kind of crush that because from the reports that I've seen, now TNA is a private company. They don't release a lot of information, but the stuff that Dixie Carter has released and what Jeff Jarrett says word by word of mouth indicates that the show or that TNA has been churning a profit now for at least like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah,
do you believe
that?
Surely that's just been said to make the fans believe it. To be honest, they're obviously going to sugarcoat the truth. I don't mean to like criticize or contradict. What do you guys think? Perhaps if that's what they said, perhaps it's true, but I can't believe that.
I read an article somewhere, and I can't remember where, but I think it was like Bleacher Report or something like that. But basically, the writer said that Dixie Carter is used to work in this, I can't remember what kind of job, but basically it involves you looking good to the public, and then you can treat the people in the back, you know, your staff, as crap as you want when no one's looking. And he said, do you think this is actually what happens to TNA backstage? You know, Dix Carter comes out and says, oh, we're turning a profit. You know, everything's going really good. There's a few things we could maybe improve on. And then goes backstage ranting and raving, you know, we're not making any money. This is rubbish. What on earth are you doing? Big waste of money. I mean, I don't know what you guys think, but let's wrap up the segment here. Your final thoughts, Kyle?
Just, you know, off of what I just said, you know, that doesn't mean, obviously, that TNA is making a ton load of money. I don't believe that they're making a ton load. If they were, they obviously wouldn't be, you know, working out of the Impact Zone. But I don't know. I do kind of, you know, I'm sure that they cover up a lot of stuff because, you know, you got to look good to the public. But you know, I just don't believe personally that TNA is in as bad a shape as a lot of people say. A lot of people like to bash TNA and say, oh, they're going to be gone next week or they're going to be gone next month. I don't believe that. I believe they're here to stay, whether that's fortunate or unfortunate for you. I just hope that this whole rebranding stuff actually works.
Yeah, George, have you got any other final thoughts on the TNA name change deal?
You've got to give them credit, though. They've been around 6 years now. And that's 6 years where the wrestling industry slumped. Yeah, hopefully they'll still be around. Or 8 years even, sorry. That's 8 years they've been around now where the wrestling industry slumped. So hopefully they'll still be around. I do quite enjoy watching them at certain times. I just sort of hope that they can progress to the next level so WWE actually has some rivals and have to actually work to get their ratings. Would you agree?
Oh, I completely agree with that.
I'd agree with you too, yeah. We're going to move on to our final story in a minute because that was a brief well, quite a long discussion there, but I just want to say currently joining on the line is Carl Patton from ineedwrestling.com. I believe you can also find your Twitter, which is at ineedwrestling, and search I Need Wrestling in Facebook, is exactly as it sounds. Carl, why don't you just tell the listeners, as well as being on this show, you can also listen to you elsewhere, because I believe you do some other audio for the site.
Sure. Yes. Currently, we have a show after every Monday Night Raw and every Impact. It's a recap. We go through, we go through the show that happened at that night. Excuse me. And we also go through a few headlines, but it's mostly a recap of shows. We do it on Monday, Thursday at 10:30 p.m. Central, and we also do one at the same time after pay-per-views.
Yeah, I thoroughly recommend you check the site out. The audio is superb over there. It's free as well, which makes a nice change to the majority of other websites. The shows are only half an hour, which is another benefit, so you can download it, put it on a CD or an iPod, and listen it in on the way to work and on the way home. But anyway, guys, let's move on to our final story here. It's the new World Heavyweight Championship, new World Heavyweight Champion being crowned on SmackDown yesterday night in the UK and America and certain other countries. I know in Australia it will have been Friday for them. But guys, what do we think about this? George?
Yeah, I'm not, wasn't that impressed. Christian's just won the title and he's lost it already. Surely they should have made that ladder match, maybe a triple threat or something. I just couldn't understand it really. I just sort of thought it was disappointing to see a person that won the world title actually be crowned. I don't know who's going to feud now, though. It should be interesting. They're going to have it over the limit versus him. Maybe Christian will have a rematch.
It frustrates me that they couldn't just build this out till over the limit. You know, we're, what, 2 or 3 weeks away from it? Why couldn't they just sort of stretch out some feud and then have the match over the limit? It's not like over the limit's being built anyway very well. But, Carl, what's your thoughts on this?
Well, I think, Sean, you and I talked about this a little bit, about Christian winning the world title, if he did, and which he did. We both felt that he really wasn't going to have a long reign, but I honestly didn't think it was going to be this short. I mean, the show, we all know the show is taped, so, you know, he really only had the title for like 2 days. But I just, you know, I understand them giving it to Randy Orton because they want Randy Orton to be the face of SmackDown. Now he's going to be the John Cena of SmackDown. That's fine with me, but I really wish that they would have given Christian at least a month with the title, maybe even at least like 2 or 3 weeks, just to see how he does and where it goes and if he can roll with the ball. And if not, that's fine. Pull the trigger and put Randy Orton, you know, give it to Randy Orton. That's fine. But I just wish they would have, you know, at least waited another show. I mean, they didn't even give him a chance. He came out there and was, you know, so happy and proud to be the champion. And then they just take it away just like that.
Yeah, I will agree with you there. Why couldn't they just keep it on him for at least 2 or 3 weeks? I mean, it now just makes him look like he can't survive in the WWE without Edge anywhere in the building.
I agree.
But it's just, it's not, it's frustrating.
They panicked, though.
Yeah, they definitely did panic. And the terms of that they didn't, it's like, oh no, we've got to now crown Christian because we can't have Del Rio take the title over. And then they get themselves into more trouble. But it's just,
You've got to bear in mind, they were looking at Christian and Mark Henry at the over the limit for the title. So it was so good. It is a good thing that Christian isn't a world champion in some respects. But I don't know. I just thought it was stupid having two faces go head to head for the title. I don't know what I thought.
Well, the other thing is, if you look at over this past week's TV, what have they done that they could have done on pay per view? They've given away two title matches. You know, one title change on, but two title matches that are pay per view worthy on free TV. You know, I don't really care if it's The Rock's birthday. You know, it doesn't mean that you have to put the title match on.
Hey,
but
next week they're celebrating him getting his driver's license.
Oh, I can't wait to see that. Yeah.
Let's be honest, though, The Rock got Pitbull as well, which was fascinating. I think it was more like a concert role, wasn't it? But we're going back.
But he's
back
white.
To
he's white. Rappers can't be white unless named Eminem. To me, I mean, I don't even know who Pitbull is. I've heard of him, but couldn't name you any of his songs. I mean, you said to me, George, that he's fairly big over here, but, you know, I'm really not keeping up with the charts. But Anyway, guys, have we got any more comments on that or this week in general?
A very damaging week for WWE. As I said, as you've just addressed, there were two matches that should be on pay-per-view giving away free. If I bought Extreme Rules, I'd be kicking myself now. So people that paid all that money sort of got nothing for it. Whereas on SmackDown and Raw, you could have got two title matches. Neither one were very good, but I don't know what you guys think on what I just said.
I
agree with George about giving away pretty much pay-per-view matches on TV. That match on SmackDown with Christian and Randy Orton was pretty good, in my opinion. I thought it was a well-done match, and I thought the finish was well done. But that match should be on pay-per-view. And if you paid, I don't know, I can't remember what it is for you guys, but
£15.
Okay, here, well, that's probably what, like $30 in American money or something. I don't know.
Yeah, around that.
But we pay if you get the HD net or the HD version, which is I believe like $50 now. You know, you tuned in and paid $50 to watch the, you know, John Cena win the title, and you know, Christian wins the title, and then the next week, you know, Christian loses the title in a pay per view match on free TV. Why are you buying the pay per view?
They're panicking and said this used to happen during the Attitude Era, where it's like Kane won the title and they lost it to Austin the next night. There was no benefit to Christian losing the title at that point. I just don't know what they're going to do now. Who do you think will be Randy Orton's first opponent? Any guesses, anybody? Will it be Christian again?
Well, Mark Henry.
Oh, I hope not.
No, neither do I.
You got to remember the title's not chocolate.
It's damaging. I just sort of thought that title challenge was really damaging, but I'm sure it'll all become clear. They've got, as I said, the next week's going to be crucial into the build-up of that pay-per-view as such. I don't know really what they're going to do.
I just want to say one more thing. I know that, like George said, that, you know, they panicked. I completely agree. The Attitude Era thing, I think, is completely different because back then they were shooting for TV ratings and trying to kill WCW. But right now, you know, they don't need to be switching titles every week like they did during the Attitude Era to draw interest. This obviously, you know, they have no faith in Christian. That's what it pretty much says.
Yeah, I just don't know. Is this going to be interesting what comes from that? But go ahead.
I think Christian should turn heel. Sort of, I think he's much more over as a heel. Although he's just had that whole Edge thing. I think he should say, oh, I spent too much time in Edge's shadow, blah, 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 blah. I focused too much on trying to please Edge. I should just please myself. And then he'd actually have something to feud with Randy Orton about. That should be the main feud on SmackDown if they build it up right. Would you agree?
I don't know who you just said, but I was just going to say, I think Sheamus will be the next guy to feud.
Yeah,
even though
he dropped
at the last event, which is annoying.
It'd be interesting to see Sheamus put him in the main event, and that could be why he lost the title this week, but I don't think you could throw him in there, you know? He's just going to be
right away.
U.S. Title from Kofi Kingston. But anyway, guys, if I can get you guys to stick on the line after we've finished here, if that's cool with you, just for 5 minutes. But this has been Sean Wolford, and on behalf of George and Carl, thank you all for tuning in, and the show has come to an end. I hope to see you next week. That is going to be at 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern and 10 to 11 p.m. GMT UK, and that is on a Friday. There's been some misses around with this week's show due to myself, but anyway, thanks for tuning in, guys, and hope to see you again next week.
Goodbye.